place. It's okay. Freedom does reign in this place. If you have your Bibles, turn me to Ephesians chapter 4. Tonight, we still on our series called Mission Possible. Mission Possible. I'm going to just kind of relay back what I said a little bit this morning to take us to tonight, Ephesians chapter 4. You remember, I start off this morning, I told you about Barna, B-A-R-N-A. Barna is a Christian research, they do a Christian research study. And Barna says that half of Americans committed their life to Jesus Christ before the age of 13. Half of Americans get saved by the age of 13. Also says two-thirds of Americans get saved by the age of 18. It also says one-third of Americans get saved after the age of 18. Astounding numbers. We talked about that this morning. We talked about how great these numbers is. We're talking about, watch this, half of Americans that are saved are before the age of 13. How awesome. Awesome numbers. Awesome numbers. That's something to be awesome about. And then two-thirds are before the age of 18. That is crazy. That is telling me that half the people in America that are saved are either children or youth. And then it says one-third gave their life to Jesus Christ after the age of 18. Astounding numbers. We talked about that today. We talked about statistics. Barna also says this. This is what it also says. It says the vast majority of the people who gave their life to Jesus Christ give their life to Christ without understanding what they are doing. Most people who get saved, you actually think you know what you're doing, but you really don't know what you're doing. You have I can preach a word, and I give this word, and all of a sudden, I say, you know, if any of you who are feeling broke down, depressed, or hurt, God is a God that will get a hold of you, and he will change your life. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to convict people, and all of a sudden, they said, you know what? You know, I understand what that preacher's talking about. I feel what he's talking about. So after church, I'm going to go to the altar, and I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. Then they come up to the altar, and they say, Pastor Eric, you know what? I understand what you said. I heard what you said. I'm that person you was talking about. And guess what? I feel pretty convicted. And guess what? I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. And guess what happens after I give my life to Jesus Christ? Everything is going to be great. Yes. I'm going to go home, and because I'm saved, my wife is now going to cook me dinner every night. Because I'm saved now. My husband is going to do everything that I ask him to do because I'm saved now. Guess what? My job is going to give me a raise because I'm a Christian now. Yes, I'm going to walk up into that office and tell my HR, guess what? I'm a Christian. Show me the money. They might show you the door. Yes, 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 yes. Many Christians don't understand. They think the day that I get saved, that my life changed. And we talked about this morning. But many of them don't come and understand when they join Jesus. Remember what I said this morning? You're joining a mission. When you join the Franklin campus, you're not just joining a church. You are joining a mission. And remember, the mission can get a little messy. Yeah, yeah. But what I also didn't get in, I want to talk about tonight, is that every member, every believer is a minister. Every member is a minister. Because I love this, and I love this because, I tell you, if I'm glad I got a phone that don't count the numbers. I used to have a prepaid phone, and when it got up to 50 calls, it would just delete everything. But mine's hold up to like 250 numbers, and that is nothing to have within a month. And everybody would call, Pastor Eric, I need you to minister to a friend of mine. And sometimes I want to say, you saved? You minister to him. See, that messed you up because you're like, wait, I can do that? I thought you had to be ordained. I thought somebody had to put you on stage and give you a 1, 2, 3 hallelujah with a dot upside your head and everything and carry you around and say, you know, I thought you had to be ordained or something. No, no, no. When you get saved, you're ordained. Every member or every believer is a minister. That same prayer that I do for your family, hey, you can do it too. It's not magical about my prayer. I wish it was, because I'd have been had a raise by now. Yeah. Every member is a minister. So on this mission, understand this. Understand, this mission is not just for the deacons. It's not just for me as pastor. It's for everybody in this church. Remember the mission? We said, understand the mission. What I say the mission is, first of all, what Jesus says? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to do what? To proclaim the good news to the poor, to let the blind know that they can see, let the captives know that they can be free, and the oppressed will be released. Hey, it don't take much to tell people how good God is. You don't need to be ordained. Hey, you can walk down the street right now. Somebody could be broke down, and you can minister to them and say, I know you broke down right now. I know things ain't going right in your life right now, but I know a God that can change your situation. I know a God that can change your circumstance, and that God is awesome. All you got to do is trust him. All you got to do is believe him. Yes, if you never been saved before, well, do you want to be saved? This is what you do. Well, this is what you repeat after me. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. Hey, God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. And because you died for me, I now accept the blood of Jesus Christ in my life. Guess what? You're saved. Guess who did it? You and God. Because it's only God that can do it. But God uses you to speak. There's a song that says, without the hand and out the mouth. What is that song? Who's that? Cast the crown without the, help me out, somebody. What's the name of that song? Without the hands, the body, and the feet, that where we be, body of the church. Y'all don't listen to your radio much. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. So every minister or every believer is a minister. Ephesians chapter 4. I know where it's at. I promise I do. Ephesians chapter 4. Here it is. Starting with verse 1. Every member is a minister. Do me a favor. I want to kind of wake you up tonight. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to look over at your neighbor and say, what up, pastor? Pastor, I'm sorry. What up, pastor? Yeah. Thank God for y'all, pastor. Thank God for y'all, pastor. You know, somebody told me the other day, it was so funny. I hear some funny stuff. They told me the other day, not this Sunday, but last Sunday, a guy said, Pastor Eric, you were preaching like a black preacher. Well, thank you. Well, who have I been preaching like before? You know, you was preaching like a black preacher. I'm like, whoa. I hear it all the time. And he was excited too. Yes. About time you preach like a black man. I'm like, okay. I'm sorry that I haven't been preaching like a black man for 3 years. You got to love it. You got to love it, what you hear. And you got to love it, man. I'm still loving that one. You preached like a black man the other day. I was like, thank you. So I hope tonight that I can preach like a black man tonight to get you moving and growing. Ephesians chapter 4. And I must have been teaching like a light-skinned brother the last 2 years or something. I don't know. Yeah. Don't you just love it? Don't you just love it when you can smile and have joy in church? Don't you love it? Don't you love it when you don't go to a stuffy, all stuffed up church and you can, you know what I'm saying? Where you can come and you get a little joy, but the word comes, you know. I have to do that every time. I guess I have to kind of butter you up before I go to the attack. Fatten up the calf before I attack the calf. Woo. Love it. Ephesians chapter 4. Look what the subtitle says. I love the subtitle. It says unity in the body. Now, this, you know, when we read the scripture, we talk about, okay, a church growing together in the body, inside the church. Why is it important to have unity in the body? Well, it's important to have unity in the body so that we can help what's divided outside the body. So unity don't just mean that we all get along. Hey, everybody, how you doing? Everybody's great. Unity means that we all know the mission. We all know the mission. We all know the mission. Because whether things don't go so right in the church, long as we understand the mission, God will work it out. We got to understand the mission before we go out there. When this church started, I love this. I never forget the first time I preached in this church, there was probably four people on that row right there. Maybe eight. And before we opened up the church, we took all the volunteers who was coming to get the church going. Y'all remember that? We was going to get the church going. And what we did is I was still at New Mathers, so I would get off work. I had my work uniform on. Everybody had that work uniform on. We had all our volunteers that came down. And I remember sitting right here. It was in 2009. And it was in June, July. It's around July and August because the doors didn't open until September, right? September. And we used to sit here, and I used to come in my uniform, and this is all I used to say every night. We're going to serve this community. We're going to get this community. We're going to reach the lost. We're going to go after the brokenhearted. We're going to go. I seemed like a general, man. It just seemed like I was walking around, and this is what we're going to do. And this is what we're going to do. At ease, soldier. Freddie, wake up. And this is what we're going to do. And this is what we're going to do. I didn't mean to throw that one in there, but we used to tell them, this is the vision. This is, and if anybody was here, you remember, for 2 weeks or maybe 2 months, that's all I talked about was the vision. I didn't talk about anything else but the vision. I didn't talk about how we was going to do the bulletin. I didn't know. I didn't talk about how we was going to have Sunday school teachers. I didn't even talk about volunteers. All I wanted to do was put into the people the vision. So what was I doing? I was unifying the team. I was putting the team in order and says, I need everybody to think about the vision. I need you to leave here thinking about the vision. You need to sleep the vision. You need to dream the vision. You need to eat the vision. When you wake up, have the vision. Why? Because I needed to get everybody unified, because when the church did open, we knew what we needed to do. And guess what? The Bible says without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, the people perish. So how did I didn't want this church to perish? And look, it didn't say without a pastor, the people perish. No, the people can make it without a pastor. The people can make it without a deacon. A church can make it without music. I've been to churches where they didn't even have music and they made it. I've been to churches where they didn't even have people greeting at the door. They made it. I've been to churches where they didn't have all this, but they had a vision, though. But I've been to the church who had the finest music, the finest pastor, the finest deacon, but they didn't have a vision and the church perished. See, without a vision, the church perished. Catch this now. I'm trying to get you to get this. Without a vision, the church perished. Without a vision. And the Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus, and he's trying to get their mindset on the vision. I'm trying to unify the body. And one thing I love about this, and please, and maybe if I'm wrong, you guys help me, but have you noticed how this church has been growing? Now, let me tell you why it's been growing. Can I really give you, and I know you guys is probably not going to believe this, because I couldn't either. It's not me. I tried to figure it out, and I realized it wasn't me. I studied it, and I found out it wasn't me. I'm sorry. I know you shocked, too. I know you guys are shocked. It shocked me, too. But it's not me, the reason why this church is growing. Oh, and I also did research. I'm sorry, Daryl, Sean, and Nick, but it's not the music. Oh, and I also did research. I'm sorry, Freddie, but it's not because this big 6'9" guy is outside shaking your hand when you pull up, because that's kind of scary. And it's not Freddie. It's not him. I found out it wasn't him. I found out that it wasn't multimedia. I found out it wasn't because we got letters on the screen. I found out it wasn't. And y'all are beautiful. And I'm telling you, we have the most beautiful church in Simpson County. But it wasn't because we have all these beautiful people in here. It was because this church had a vision. This church is growing because this church have a vision. And the vision is this: to have the same mission that Jesus had. Are you guys getting this? We got to understand that Jesus is sending this church out on a mission, and we got to have our eyes on the mission, and we got to get unified, and we got to understand that this church is growing. Because here's what it is. I love this, because when I'm out, I love hearing about how our people attack. Our people attack. We got some, I think y'all back to Pentecostal. I don't know. Because every time I go around, they say, yeah, I was up in Piggly Wiggly, and one of your members was giving me the word in aisle 9. Oh, I love to hear that. I love to hear that. They was like, I met one of your members. They were laying hand on me in aisle 10. I told them I was sick, and they were praying for me by the spaghetti. Did I say that wrong? That's the first time them teenagers got my attention back there when I couldn't say nothing right. I love you guys, too. But I love that, because they say every time I see one of your members, they're not talking about you. They're not talking about the church. They're talking about their God. Every time they're talking about their God. That's a person that has a vision. That's a person that's on a mission. And they get excited about it, and they get real excited about it, not because they said they don't say, Pastor Eric, they was talking about you. They said, Pastor Eric, I seen your members. I got to say this. Last week I was helping at People Serving People. You know what that is? They serve food to the homeless or people who just hungry or whatever. And they had the fire down there. And I had my apron on. And some of our members walked in there. They started laughing, taking pictures of me in the apron. I'm not going to say no names, though. But, Greg, I like you too, Greg. Well, anyways, I ain't saying no names, though. But the lady told me, she says, hey, you know them people right there? I said, yeah. They said, so you're the guy they've been talking about. Or you the church they go to. They weren't talking about me. They said the church. They've been talking about that church, but they didn't know I was the pastor of that church. But they was talking about the church. And they said, yeah, they was talking about this church. And I had my apron on. I was stirring up salad and everything, you know, and I was cooking. Yeah, I was helping out. I was working that salad, girl. And I was looking good in that apron, didn't I? And he says, man, they keep talking about this church down there on Blackjack, on 1008 and Blackjack. And my chest, man, that apron almost busted, man, because I was doing like this. And they said, yeah. They said, do you know where that church is at? Have you heard of that church? I think I heard of that church. I said, did they say anything about the pastor? They said, no. Well, I heard he was off the chain. I don't know what church they go to. They must go to the other service. Because the one I go to, that pastor's off the chain. But every member is a minister, okay? Without a vision, the people perish, okay? Let's talk about that. Unity body, Ephesians chapter 4. Watch this. Paul, he's writing to the church of Ephesus. Watch this. He said, therefore, I, a prisoner for what? A prisoner for what? Wow. A prisoner for serving. Man, a prisoner for serving. That's very interesting. A prisoner for serving. Like we said today, serving ain't going to be easy, is it? It's not going to be easy. The mission's going to get messy. Look what he says. A prisoner for serving the Lord, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your what? Who's he talking to? The church. He's not talking to pastors. He's talking to believers in the church. Oh, guess what? Every believer has a calling. Uh-oh. What do you mean? Each one of you guys is called to do something. I hear this all the time. Pastor Eric, I just don't know if I have a calling. Yes, you do. The day you get saved, you got a gift in you. There's a calling. He says, worthy of your calling that you have what? Been called by God. You've been called by God, people. Everybody in here has a calling. Whether you got a GED, a high school diploma, a PhD, I don't know, LED, I don't know. But whatever it is that you got a calling. You got to call him. Hey, I'm a prime example. Hey, I got my education after my calling. My education didn't give me the calling. My education just added to my calling. I was the only one in class that didn't have an education, but I was called. I was called to this church before I even started school. I started school after I was called. But until I realized that I was called and I started operating in my calling, and my wife would tell you that she said she knew I was called to be a preacher because I talked too much. She told me that. We lived in a project, in South Bend, we lived in these projects. They was called Lordwood, and they had like three or four stories, and we lived up on the top story. And, man, I would have all the buddies be out there. They would come. It was like a kid, man. They would come over and ask Tasha, can I come out and play? Because they just wanted, because they said I was a fool. I was, you know, and I'm always was the class clown. They'd knock on the door, go, is Eric here? Can he come out? She's like, your buddy's here. And then it'd be a crowd of guys. My wife would tell you, you asked her this story. It'd be a crowd of guys. They'd be sitting there. They'd all be sitting there partying, you know, and I'd be sitting there running my mouth talking. And I was on the stage at the time because there was like a bench. And I'd be sitting on the bench in the projects just talking. I wasn't preaching the right thing, but I was preaching. And I used to walk upstairs, and my wife used to look at me and go, and I'm like, what? She said, you're going to be a preacher one day. I said, don't put that curse on me. She said, because I can tell because you like to talk in front of people. Now, believe me, you don't think that's much, but try sitting up in front of 200 or 300 people at a time and talk in front of them. And you'll find out that's not your calling real quick. It takes that. And so when God saved me, watch this. I had a preacher tell me one time, you know, when Jesus went to Peter and them and he says, throw your nets out into the water. And Peter says, wait a minute. I've been out here what? All night. I've been fishing and I ain't catch nothing. And guess what? They got mad. Why did they get mad? Because they were fishermen. And they've been out there all day, and then you have the audacity to tell a fisherman to go back out and fish. And he says, wait a minute, I've been out here all day, and you have the audacity to tell me to go back out and fish. He said, okay, but since you told me to do it, I'm going to do it. And the Bible says Peter threw his net in the water, and all of a sudden fish was coming in. They had to call an extra boat. They had to call for help because so much fish came in. And watch what happened. And here's good. You got to catch this. He told Peter, from now on, you be what? Fishers of men. I just want to make sure everybody got that. Fishers of men. Interesting. Did he change Peter? Y'all didn't know this was going to be Wednesday night, did you? I'm sorry. But did he change Peter? It's okay. Somebody can answer. Said it again. He didn't change him. He just changed his focus. Did you see that? Some of you guys can bake the best cakes in the world. And you get saved, you're just not a cake baker for the church. Hospitality. You think you didn't. You say, well, I don't have a gift. Well, you've been doing your gift for a long time. You've been baking cakes and cupcakes for a long time. We need you more than the pastor. Am I, listen, but he didn't change you. He just changed your focus. This is what I talk for a living. I love to talk. He didn't change me. He just changed who I talk to or how I talk. That's all he did. I was already called until I realized my gift. Some of you love people, and some of you love to shake hands. Some of you love to greet people. Some of you love children. I love when we have our teachers in here that already love children. Well, they already had a gift with children. They just got saved, and they just used their gift to help children. We got singers. I mean, you got people who know how to sing. But guess what? I know people who sang in the club, then they got saved, and they went straight to gospel. Didn't change them, just changed their focus. So everybody got a call. Guess what? We got mechanics who work on cars. Hey, you know what? When you got saved, we need help with the van. Now you're the church mechanic. Oh, God. That's awesome. You are now the church mechanic. And when this church grows, we might have 4 or 5 vans that you can work on. And if it gets right, you won't even have to go back to where you work here working on vans. I've seen it happen. Look at Nicole. Nicole Buckman worked with children, and this was her call, and all of a sudden the church needed a children worker. Since she was already called, bam. You know, Franklin Campus needed somebody who didn't mind talking to folks. They knew I didn't mind talking. Guess what? I got hired to talk. I get paid to talk. Awesome. Wow, I just thought about that. Praise the Lord, praise report. But watch this. So, the Bible says this, though. Your gift will make room for you. You ever read that scripture where it said your gift will make room for you? Your gift will provide for you. Your gift will provide for you. Somewhere down the line, you keep operating in that gift, your gift will provide for you. You work your gift will work for you. You work your gift will work for you. You keep shaking folks' hands outside, and I guarantee you that little gift will do something for you. I'm telling you, I just know this. If you keep doing what God called you to do, God will keep doing what he said he was going to do. Okay? Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's fault because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the spirit. Bind yourself together with peace. For there is one body, one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all in all and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a what? He has given each one of us. Did he say certain people in the church? Oh, he just gave the pastor a special gift. Now, I'm telling you, did you see this morning on that video that she said 3 out of 4 teenagers become teachers? You guys got a gift. Teenagers got a gift. Did you see that? They said 3 out of 4 teenagers become teachers or come into ministry. Well, look, we got Nick who did his call in the ministry. He preached his first sermon, when was that? March 4th. Now, guess what? He's a teenager with a gift. He just realized that he had a gift, and he used it. And if you, and then watch this, if he worked the gift right, the gift would take care of him. If he worked it right, before you know it, the gift will find you a church, it will find you a congregation, and it will find you a provision for your family. The gift will do it for you too. If you work your gift right, if you don't get tired and weary and you use your gift, I'm telling you, your gift will work right for you. I'm telling you, I had to struggle with that. Going to 3 or 4 churches, watching everybody else. Can I really be honest tonight? Because I want to teach you tonight. I need you to catch this now. I'm going to give you a confession of myself, okay? I'm going to confess. When I first came, and y'all probably heard this story, but I need to confess this. I was at First Baptist, and I told the story that I was preaching. We had over 200-something people in that church, and they was paying me very well. They was paying me very well. I never forget, Mark Perdue was on the personnel committee. He works with me at New Mathers. And this is how they offered me the Franklin Campus job. This is how I got it. They said, hey, Brother Eric, we need a campus pastor. I said, oh, yeah. He said, you won't preach during the day, and we don't pay much. Well, I'm sold on that one. Well, you got me. I'll be there. When do I start? No, seriously, that's how it started, didn't it? In the bylaws, the campus pastor wouldn't get paid much, and he wouldn't preach on no Sundays during the day. That was in the bylaw. Am I joking? That was in the bylaw. And that's how they presented to me. Now, you got to think about it. Now, come on now. Let's just be real. I got over 250 people I'm ministering to, and I'm getting paid real good. You know my first thought, no thank you. I'm just keeping it real. No, I don't want it. Why would I, watch this, why would I go to a church that I'm not even preaching and I'm barely getting paid. Because I'm preaching good up here, the church growing, and they taking care of a brother very well. No. He came up to me again. I said, no. I turned it down about three. Freddie knows. Freddie worked in eight. I don't know. Maybe Mark sent him over there. I kept saying no. No. No, 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 no. And I remember this was Mark Perdue's last statement. I never forget this. He says, well, why don't you just meet our pastor? I says, well, I really don't want to meet your pastor. Because I'm just being real because I made up my mind. What meeting your pastor going to do for me? Seriously, I told him, I don't want it. He said, just please, just meet him one time. I said, if I meet him, would you please leave me alone? Because it wasn't going to hurt. I was just going to meet him, and I was going to say, hey, what's up, player? I heard about you, and I'm gone. Get back to my church where I got people, and I get paid good. And I remember, I never forget the first time I went in Pastor Tim's office, and this man had a gift on him. And I said, whoa. I want that gift. He gets what I want. Yeah. I said, and I'm looking at him while he's talking. I'm saying, he got exactly what I want. But I'm going to have to sacrifice. And if I sacrifice, my gift will make room for me. Because I wanted that gift. Back then, I was just an old street preacher, man. That's all I did. Look here. Here was my sermon. Get your life together. You're going straight to you know where. That was my sermon. It was good. It worked. 200 people came, but it worked. But I didn't know. I wasn't no pastor. I didn't know how to lead a church. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. And when I met him, and I remember, I said, okay. I called my father. I said, hey, I met this pastor, and I'm telling you, he's an awesome dude, and I know he can teach me some stuff. And my father asked me, he says, all money is not good money. Do you want the gift or the money? Do you want the gift or the money? And I thought for a long time, believe me, I didn't think right away. I was like, gift or the money, gift or the money, gift or the money. So I went back, I took the gift, and I took the job, and I'm telling you, it was the hardest year of my life to sit here under a video. Not because I didn't care, it's just that I knew where I was sitting there going, man, I was preaching to 200 people getting paid. I was preaching. But all that time, every staff meeting, I would get imparted something in me. Something would come in me. Something would come in me. And I remember the second year I quit my job. Oh, that was hard. It was hard. My house payment was more than what I was getting paid. But I quit my job because I wanted to get up under Pastor Tim more and more and serve this church more and more. I wanted to go out and visit. It felt better visiting people. It felt better going and visiting the sick. It felt better going to the funeral home. I felt good going to the funeral home. I felt good going to visit. I was using my gift because I'd get in there and I would talk to people. And all of a sudden, after 2 or 3 years of allowing my gift, all of a sudden my gift began to make room. And then that's when the deacons called me in with Pastor Tim and said, you know what? I think you're ready for full time. But it took 3 years. But it was my gift that was making room for me. You see what I'm saying? It was the gift that makes room for you. If you work the gift will work for you. If you work the gift will work. Don't get weary in doing good. Don't get weary. I know it don't seem like nobody's looking. I know it don't seem like you're being appreciated. I know it don't seem like nothing is going right. But I'm telling you, if you work the gift will make room for you. And I'm telling you, you know when your gift is working when you start to get haters. I started to get haters. I started to get people, everybody loved me at New Mathers, but when I started me seeing the church coming, they started hating me. I said, I must be doing good. Let me tell you, when people talk about you, it's not always a bad thing. Because if they're not talking about you, you ain't doing nothing. Let them talk about you. It's okay, because if they're talking about you, doing something. Man, I remember, I hate it when people stop talking about me. I get scared. I'm like, man, I must not be doing nothing. I go out in front of the street, hey, y'all don't like me anymore? I mean, y'all like me now? Because your gift, well, watch this. Your gift will, if you have a gift, your gift will show other people they're not doing their gift. I'm telling you, you know when you see people singing And I've seen people sing it. Now, if I knew how to sing, and I seen somebody sing, and it made me mad, why am I mad? Huh? If I'm a singer, and somebody's up there singing, and it made me mad, why would I be mad? Say that again. I know I'm supposed to be up there doing it. You ever get convicted when you see me preaching? I know some preachers. I know when people get called and I'm preaching, I know they come up to me and say, man, hey, I'm accepting my call. You know what it is? They're getting tired of seeing me up here. No, really. Because they know they ought to be up here. Hello. Is that right, Richard? I'm serious. I see how people be looking and saying, man, I ought to be up there ministering the gospel. I ought to be up there. What is happening? You being convicted of your gift. When you see people who are hungry and you know they're not getting enough food, you know why it's getting you mad? Because you know you could have cooked 5 or 6 plates. Watch this. Whatever makes you mad is your gift. Whatever makes you mad is your gift. That's good teaching there. Whatever you don't like seeing is your gift. I didn't like churches treating people bad because I was an addict, and I realized that's my gift to reach the addicts. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I mean, that's your gift. If you notice ain't nobody been shaking hands at the door, if you ever felt, man, ain't nobody been shaking hands at the door, well, guess what? That's your gift. There you go. Go shake hands. I'm teaching okay tonight. I'm really teaching. I believe so. Okay, watch this. Just a little teaching on a Sunday night. That's okay, ain't it? This is a little teaching. Okay. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lower world, and the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heaven so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Here it is. Here's the gift that Christ gives to the church. To some, he gave apostles. Okay, I can teach that, but I'm not going to do it yet. Some, he gave prophets. Some evangelists. And some pastors. And some teachers. Okay, everybody's not an apostle. Everybody's not a prophet. Everybody's not an evangelist. Everybody's not a pastor. Everybody's not a teacher. But some people have that gift. Some people have that gift. Some people are great teachers. They're great teachers. They teach, but they're not great pastors. Some people are great pastors, but they're not great teachers. Some people are great teachers, but terrible evangelists. They won't go out and evangelize. Some people are great evangelists. An evangelist cannot be a pastor because his job is to be on the streets most of the time. But some people are apostles. Now, apostles, you got to think about it. Apostles are if you think about it in this time, apostles is one who really plants a church and goes out, and he'd go to the city, and he would look at the city, he would start a church, and he'd go to another city. That's what the apostle Paul did. If you understand, all the apostles traveled and planted churches. So there are apostles. Some folks don't believe in apostles now, but you might not have that name, but there's still people coming, planting churches, and going to another church. So some people can plant churches and never preach. Have you ever seen that? I've seen people plant churches and never preach, and they call themselves the apostle of that church, or they help the pastor to go get people, but then after that, they go on to another church. Okay, so these are gifts. Now watch this. Now, here it is. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed, blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us or with lies or clever that they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth. Watch this, with love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body of the church. He makes the whole body fit together at each part. Watch this. Each part. Each part. Each part. Do me a favor. Now look at your neighbor and say, "What's up, Pastor Park?" Each one of you have a part. Are you catching this? Each one of you have a part. Watch this. Now, here's what happens. Each one does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full in love. Now, let me say this, and we're going to get on out of here. Every member is a minister. Every member is a minister, and every one of you have a special part. And if you don't use your special part, you can mess up my part. Ooh, that's good. If you don't use your part, you can mess up my part because your part is not my part. And so what happens is I begin to try to do my part and your part. Now, I done messed up because your part is not my calling. But since you ain't doing your calling, it takes me to do my calling and your calling. And the church is not healthy because too many people are trying to do what they ain't called to do. We putting too many people in position they don't need to be there. You know, we need to get up and say, "Player, that ain't your pot. Get on by your business. That's his pot." See, here's what's happening. Here's what happened. Too many people. See, my part ain't singing. Hey, and I would not dare get up there and try to sing. If I do, say, "Pastor, that's not your part. Sit down." Because you messing up the other parts. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And when you get people up here try to pastor, and it ain't their part, you messing up the other part. I'm telling you, if you notice, I'm sorry, I'm just not one. I hear people say, "When are you going to let me come preach at your church?" I said, "I'm not." They got a pastor. I'm not going to bring every pastor in this church to minister to my people. Because their call might not be my call. And I ain't letting you mess up my part with your part. I don't get into pastors swap unless it's Pastor Tim. That's the only pastor to come in this pulpit. It's Pastor Tim, and he has the right. He can tell me to move. I don't even have no choice in that one. But you got to understand, if you don't do your part, you are causing trouble on the other part. You are putting too much work on the other part. If it's not your part, move out the way so somebody who can do their part do it. Or do your part so don't nobody have to do three or four parts. See, if we grow together, we all have a part. Don't come to me saying, "Pastor Eric, I don't have a gift." Are you saved? Yes, you got a gift. Are you saved? Yes, you got a gift. What you got to do is just try to figure out what it is. I love it. You know what? You know how to sew? Well, guess what? There's some folks who lost their house, need some blankets. Oh, y'all just missed that one. Sew some blankets and take it to Red Cross. Well, guess what you just did? You just operated in your gift. And you keep messing around with these blankets, the right person might find that blanket. And you be having your blankets in Dillard's. I'm trying to teach for real to some folks up in here. See, you minimize your gift. You minimize your gift, and because you minimize your gift minimizes you. You see what I'm saying? Each one of you have a gift in here. Each one of you have a gift in here. You are called to be a minister. You are called with a special gift. Use your gift. Quit sitting on your gift. Quit sitting on your talent. Because as much as you sit on your talent, you can't not grow, whether in your faith, in your church, in your ministry. You want to see your husband get saved? Use your gift. You want to see your wife get saved? Use your gift. You want to see your children delivered? Use your gift. You want to see people saved? Use your gift. You want to see people redeemed? Use your gift. Pastor Eric, how come I ain't seeing miracles? Because you are not using your gift. Your gift makes room for you. You want to see something happen in this church? Use your gift. And when you use your gift, then God will use his gift, and he will begin to do what he said he would do in this church, because his church is doing what they're supposed to do. Oh, God, when you get a church that is ready to use their gift, you get a church that is ready to see signs and want, oh, God, up in this place. You want to see some signs and wonders? Then use your gift. The Apostle Paul, he had such a gift, the Bible said, when he walked by people, he didn't even have to touch them. and they got healed. Whoo, that's a confident brother. I can't get some of y'all to walk in here with your heads up. Hold your head up high. You are called by God. Hold your head up high in this church. I don't care what anybody say, what anybody do to you. They didn't call you. God called you. And who God called, he's anoints. He's anoint who he called. He empowers who he calls. He bless who he's called. You are called by God. You are a mighty woman of God. You are a mighty man of God. No matter what nobody say, no matter what nobody do, when God opens up a door, can't no one shut it in your life. When God opens a door, man, I'm telling you, when he opens that door, can't nobody shut it. And when that door opens, man, watch this. Malachi says this: if you believe in me and trust me and see that I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so powerful that you can't even contain it. Now watch this. Only when you use your gift. We're a church on a mission, baby. We're on a mission. I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Yes, I am. And I'm going to stay hungry. Because I know if I keep operating in the gift that God gives me, God's going to keep doing miracles in this church. I can't stop my gift because I want to see your family saved. I can't stop my gift. I want to see your marriage restored. See, when you have marital problems, I use my gift. Not that I heal your marriage, but if I do what God called me to do, you and your wife will get here in church, and y'all be able to hear my gift. And when you hear my gift, then you might get convicted, and you might start working on your marriage. And then when the music begin to use their gift, all of a sudden you begin to praise God, and you just got a word, you just got some music, and then you just got a hug at the door. Oh, my God, everybody used their gift. Somebody greet you at the door. Somebody greet you here. You done heard some music. You done heard some preaching. Somebody hugged you here. When you get in your car, you say, babe, we got to get ourselves together. Because them folks up in there just love us, hug us, sing to us, and preach to us. I can't help but to get my life together because they did all that. It was like a assembly line. It's like when you walk to here, we smack you with the word. We smack you with some music. We smack you with a hug. We smack you with some praise. And you can't leave but, man, what? They tripping in that church. Why? Because everybody is smacking you with a gift. Everybody is smacking you upside the head with a gift. Come up in this church and see you won't get smacked with a gift. Let me say that. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. I wasn't planning on preaching this long, but watch this. Watch this. When every gift do their part, people get saved. Man. When the spirit up, see, they can sing that. I can't. But when they begin to do that song, man, do something to me when the right person sings it. Honestly, when the right person sang that song, it gets a hold of you. See, when the right person gives you a hug at the door, see, everybody can't hug you at the door. See, you got to have a certain hug. See, you can't be at the door hugging folks like, we don't want you at the door. We don't, no. We want somebody who's gifted with hugs. I'm talking about just, you haven't been hugged in 2 months. Can you understand? There's somebody that's been in this church who haven't had a hug all their life. We don't need no old messed up hugs. They need a mama hug. Their mother haven't been there. Their father haven't been there. And all of a sudden, you hug them. That's a gift. I don't even have to preach good because they still thinking about that hug they got. You see that? Don't just be going up in there giving folks high five. Hug them. See, we need huggers at the door. We're a hugging church. I tell people we're a hugging church. We don't give fives. We hug. Because people need hugs. And when you out there shaking their hand, grab their hand. Let them know we appreciate you being here. And I'm holding your hand so tight I don't want to let you go. Are you seeing if everybody used their gift, they got a hug, they got a firm handshake, they heard some awesome worship. Oh, it makes it easier for me. All I got to give them is say, God is good. When they come to the altar, they already made their mind up at the parking lot. They done went through four gifts and they said, I'm joining this church. I didn't even have to preach yet. I didn't even have to say a word. They said, this is my church. What? I already made up my, where's the paper at? Where's the pen at? Where do I sign at? Well, I ain't even preach. I don't need to hear you. They hug me. They love me. They squeeze me. They cared about me. I don't care if you're the worst preacher in the world. I already have four gifts. Your gift don't mind. Stand to your feet. Are you guys getting this? Did you see that? Watch this.